We are on the top of Chav Zayin Amud Aleph. Let's just remind ourselves of where we are. The Mishnah had talked about a woman who was nichbisha biyad obdei kochavim, right? Rather than a woman who was shvuya, like, you know, really captured, but somehow gets herself taken by the non-Jews because of either a financial fallout, some of the money that she owed, or because of she's chayv misa, because of the government. So the Mishnah made this distinction that if it's ayde mamon, she was permissible, she should be remaining permissible, and somehow gets back to her husband afterwards. So the Mishnah made the distinction that if it was ayde mamon, then she remains permissible to her husband. If it's ayde nefashos, but if she was chayv misa, then she would be forbidden. And Shmuel by Yitzchak, in the name of Rav, said this whole conversation is only when Yad Yisrael Takif Alav Dikochavim. It's only when the Jews are, you know, in charge. But if the non-Jews are in charge of each other, so then it doesn't matter what the scenario is, whether it's because of a financial issue or because of they make her, you know, chayv for capital punishment. Either way, she'd be forbidden to her husband. The assumption is they wouldn't be as careful about how they would treat her. So the Gemara had first raised a contradiction, right, on the bottom of Chavav Mabez, which was that Rabbi Yossi HaKohen had said this idea that Abbas Yisrael Shahur Hana, right? There was a case of a woman who was a Abbas Yisrael who had kind of basically offered herself to the non-Jews because of, again, financial trouble in Ashkelon, and because of that, her family didn't want to be connected to her. They felt that there was an assumption that she couldn't marry any Kohanim afterwards. And the Gemara is bothered, but wait a second. But she had Edim, right? That said that she had never even had Yich with anybody, and she was never Nitma. And the Chacham said to them, like, I don't get it. If you're going to believe that she was, you know, had given herself over, it's the same, you know, Pesha Asu, Pesha Hit there. If you believe she had given herself over, then believe also the Eden that said that she was never Nistera.
It's not the same Pesh, is it?
Not to say.
It's not the same Pesh.
Right.
The
assumption is at this point that the same witnesses who said she Hurhana, she gave herself over, the same ones who said, okay. Yeah, correct. That's a good point. But yeah, but we're assuming it's the same people. Right, exactly. Yeah. So the point is, if you assume that that's the case, then you assume also that she's still Tahora, right? And if you don't, then don't believe any of it. So what's going on here? So the Gemara there said it, and the case was, you know, Amar Aleph, the Gemara said in that case was Hurhana, right? Specifically, and not Nichvasha, right? Yeah. Sounds like only if she'd given herself over, but if she hadn't, she would be free to go. She would be, you know, permissible to her husband, and wait a second. Ashkelon is like a situation where the non-Jews were in charge. So Gemara answered there. No, not a problem. On the top of Chozai Manalaf, he said who adin afilu nichbasha umayishai kachaya. It wasn't specific, you know, hurhana versus nichbasha, but the case just happened to be a case of hurhana. But it would actually be the same thing, even if it was a case of nichbasha. So no proof. So no contradiction at that point. So now the Gemara, now where we are now, is going to try to, give us a couple other ways that this back and forth was taught. So the Gemara says, Ika da Amre. Some explain it a little different. Ika da Amre, Amar Rava, Af Ananami Tanina. Right? The Rava said, I have another, you know, Mishnah that seems to say a similar idea. Right? It seems to be a similar idea to what was said in the Mishnah. Hey, Rabbi Yossi, and you're going to notice it's the same story. Hey, Rabbi Yossi HaKohen, Rabbi Zechariah ben Kalkatzav, Abbas Yisrael Shuhurana ba'ashkelon, Rabbi Yechkua b'nei Mishpachta. Right? So it's the same exact case, right? That Rabbi Yossi, you know, we mentioned before the language, hey, was a little bit, confuses a little bit. That doesn't mean to give testimony, but he just told a story. That what happened, that about Abbas Yisrael, again, who gave herself over in Ashkelon, Rabbi Yechkua b'nei Mishpachta, and her family said she can't marry Kohanim anymore. Ve'ideha me'idim alei shalom nistera. And again, she has witnesses that say that she was not nistera, but shalom nitma, that she was not, never became forbidden. She never had relations with any of these men. The Chacham said, the same thing. And the Chacham said, if you believe her that she, you know, that she was, that she gave herself over, believe also that she wasn't Nistara and that she wasn't Nidma. And if you don't believe that she wasn't Shol Nistara or Shol Nidma, and that she was never at Yichud and never became Temeya, so Al Tamino, Shehurna, then don't believe either that she was ever gave herself over in the first place. And Veha Ashkelon, Daide Mamunhu. So this, Hava, this is a different way of reading the case, right? So one case that we said Ashkelon was the case where the non-Jews were in charge. We're saying, no, we're not attacking this point about the non-Jews being in charge or not being in charge. We're attacking the point about Ashkelon being a place, this distinction between money and Misa. So Ashkelon, what was the case? I guess they knew. The case with Ashkelon was that she owed them money, right? V'taima de'idin mi'idinosa, right? And the reason why we're saying that she should be free to go back to her husband is because she has witnesses, right? That she was never with these men. Ha'ein eidim mi'idinosa. So what's the implication? If she wouldn't have witnesses, lo, she would not be allowed to go back to her husband, right? And that's funny, right? Because in the end of the day, this was, we said there was a distinction, right? That if it's just Aydei Mamon, she'd go back to her husband. So my lav, lo shna hurana, v'lo shna nechbasha, right? Maybe you want to say, so what must be the case? It must be that we don't make a distinction between hurana and nechbasha, right? And because you don't make that distinction, that's the reason why the money here doesn't make a difference. So you were telling me, no, nechbasha is different, etc., or you know, they're the same. It sounds like that they're no different from each other, and you had before said that there was this big distinction between the two cases. So answer the Gemara, who her nashani? No, it is true. No, really, the truth is that when she gives herself over, that is different, right? Because, and this is a little bit of a different way of reading the case. Some of the Rishonim explained that who her na is different. Why? Before we thought that who her na was different because she's giving herself over. So they were more concerned in a certain sense that she's, you know, going to end up with these guys. But the assumption here is that, no, Hurana is like, it's part of the deal, right? It's understood. She can't pay, so she has to go work for them, etc. She's like a worker, she's like an employee, sort of, and therefore they're not going to treat her in that bad way. And that might be the distinction, and that might be the reason why we make this distinction. So it's not a cash on any of the distinctions we made before. Fine. Okay, but now the Gemara wants to take this whole thing and teach it in a different fashion. Iki diramila mirma. So some say no. The way of reading, and we're going to see in a second, the Rav Shmuel by Rav Yitzchak Amarav, which was like a lo shanu, right? Originally that this whole conversation, right, of Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak Amarav, which like the case of the Mishnah was talking about the following case, right? That's only if Yad Yisrael is takifa, right? But if not, then not. And so what Rashi explains is that we're actually going to use that in a different way. Look at Rashi, right? And it'll make more sense when we actually read it all the way through. But look at Rashi, Iki derami la mirma. It's the fourth wide line from the top. Lo masni la laha de Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak a perusha de masnisin. Right? But lashon lo shanu. They're not going to use this line of Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak as an explanation of the Mishnah. Like, no, like lo shanu was always like, whatever you taught me in the Mishnah is only in the following case. That's not what we're going to do. That's what we did before. We're not going to do that now. Ela rami mirma masnisin ubraisa dadi. Rather, we're going to bring a contradiction between the Mishnah and ubraisa. Ve'Allah shani. And on that contradiction, then Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak, Rav Shmuel gave a chiluk. We're going to use it as an explanation of a possible, you know, instead of just saying this is an explanation of the Mishnah, we're going to say, well, there's a Mishnah and then there's a Braisa, which seems to contradict it, and Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak is going to be the explanation of that contradiction. So it's just a different way of quoting this case. So let's go back to the Gemara. So there are those who use Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak again as a way to answer a contradiction as follows. Tanan. Right, we had said in the Mishnah, "Ide mamon muteres labayla." Right, when it comes to a case of money that she's being held because she owes money, so then when she goes back to her husband, she's permissible. Uraminu, however, you have the following contradiction. You're going to recognize the story. Hey, Rabbi Yossi bar, etc., etc., etc. The Gemara finally doesn't even tell you the whole story. Right, so our whole story. Right, the woman who gave herself over, etc., and then she had Aiden that she wasn't Istra, she wasn't Nitma, and And the Chacham said, you should trust her. Right? That was the case. So, and the Gemara asks, Ashkelon daide mamon. Right? In Ashkelon, the case of Ashkelon, the case we've been quoting every time, is a case where she's held because of money. Ukatani taima daide miidim osa. Haini aide miidim osa lo. Right? Same kash we asked before. But wait a second. This is a case of money. And money, you had said in the Mishnah, right, was a reason to be, without Edom, was a reason to let her go back to her husband. Because it's just a case of money. They're going to treat her more respectfully. Right? So what's going on here? Umishani. Oh, so what's the answer? Shmuel bar Yitzchak, lo kasha, not a problem. Kan shiyad yisal takifa, de ovdi kochavim. Kan shiyad ovdi kochavim takifa latzman. Right? What's the answer to this contradiction between our Mishnah and that, right? So the answer is, it depends what scenario you're talking about. If you're talking about a situation where the Yad Yisrael is stronger than Yad Ovdi Chachavim, then the non-Jews are going to be more careful when they're holding someone because of money, where the Jewish government is in charge, they're going to be more careful. But when the non-Jews are in charge of everything, so then they're not going to make a distinction. Money, nefashos, either way, they'll treat her disrespectfully, and there's more reason to be concerned that perhaps she is forbidden now to her husband. So just different ways of reading that, these explanations of the case, but the bottom line is, these distinctions still are still in play, right? The mammon versus nefashos, but presumably only in situations when Yad Yisrael is in charge. Fine. And what you see is really from the whole thing is that these assumptions of when a person's permissible or not permissible depends on the reality on the ground, right? It depends on what's happening. What can we assume is happening to people in these types of scenarios? Okay. So the Mishnah had said, "Aide nefashos, asura v'chule." Right. So we had the Mishnah had said that again, if she's being held because she's chayv misa, so then we assume that they treat her, there's less respect in terms of she's not expected to go back home. She's expected to be killed anyways. So they treat her, more disrespectfully, and if she somehow ends up back to her husband, it must mean that there's an assumption that she was violated by one of these men. So it says Gemara Amarav Kagon Hani Nashe de Ginavai. What's this like? This is like the wives of thieves. Okay. But Levi Amar Kagon Ishtol Shem Ben Donai. And the Levi says, no, it's like the wife of Ben Donai, who is a known murderer. Okay? So point being, right, look at Rashi, Hani Nashe de Ginavai, says Rashi, it's like five lines down in the skinny lines. Shabaleya nitlin, right? The wives of ganavim whose husbands get hanged. But derech hamalchus lahafkir bitam v'nisheyam, right? This is a little different, but the point being, when men would be hanged, because they were ganavim, what would happen? So then, when they would be killed, their wives would be treated again disrespectfully. They themselves were not captured. Right, the husbands were the ones who were captured as the ganavim. But the point is, just like we assume that in situations of dini nefashos, the woman herself, if she was captured, would be treated disrespectfully. So too, like the wives of these men who are captured, would be treated in that way as well.
So the wives of like these murderers.
Yeah, captured? These wives are people. The wives of people who were captured once the person was killed. Hanged. So the guy was hanged. So then the woman would be treated, then the wife would be treated a hefker, right? And Ben Donai, says Rashi, Rotzeach Chaya, he was a murderer, Ve'elazar Shemo, he's a Jewish person, Elazar Ben Donai, right? So again, the same thing. So Ben Donai is arguing about Nishay Deganve, Hagonve Mamon Lo Mifkari. So what's the machlokas here? So Rav is saying, look, the wives of the ganavim are treated just as bad as the woman who's being held because of mammon. And Levi says, no, it's more similar to the case of the wives of a murderer because he's killed, so they would be treated the same as a woman being held for dealing with fashos.
But in both these cases, right,
the husband is being taken. That's the point. The point is the husband being taken. So because the husband's being taken, there's no one to defend them, and that's why they're treated this way. Right, so Amr Chizkia Vuhushin Nigmar Dina Lahariga. So Chizkia says, yeah, that's only true if they were given, if they were actually convicted, right? They were already convicted and ready to be killed. So that's when, at that point, again, we start treating them like Hefker. Rabbi Yochanan Amar says, no, even if they haven't been officially convicted, but again, once they're already being held like that on capital murder charges or capital charges, something that they'll be, they would be killed for it. So then once that happens again, they're treated in this way. Okay, so let's just read the next Mishnah. So it says the Mishnah. Ir shekavshua karkom. So if you have a city that a karkom is a, Rashi says, matzor, right? That's like an army that sieges towns or cities. So you have a city that was sieged by an army, and it was then captured by that army. Kol kohanos shenimsu besocha psulos. All of the wives of kohanim that are found in that town or that city are psulos, are forbidden to go back to their husbands. Why? Because the assumption is the army overruns the town and will violate the women in that town. Vivieshlan edim, but if they have witnesses that didn't happen to them, afilu eved, afilu shifcha, even if it's an eved or a shifcha who gives a testimony, he says, look, I was with her the whole time, nothing happened to her, hayelu ne'emanim, they can be believed, as long as someone can give testimony that nothing happened to them. Ve'ein ne'eman adam adi atzam, but a person is not believed to testify about themselves. In such a case, we have a rule in general, Adam Karov Eitzel Asma, a person is generally a Karov for themselves, they're not going to be believed. However, if they have any type of person, right, similar to what we've seen when it comes to, Eitz Isha, where the husband goes away, and we don't know if the husband passed away, and we allow, an Eid Echad, or an Eved, or an Isha, etc., to give testimony, it's the same thing here, to give testimony that this woman was not violated, so that would work as well. And as we continue tomorrow in the Gemara, we'll see more explanations of this case.
She can't, okay. Say it by herself.